Does it say like folder one?
Yeah, we're ready. It's rolling. Yep. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's pick up at verse 23. I think we left off at 23, but we'll pick up at verse 23. It's been a while since we got back to Corinthians. And before we start, we are starting. I want to give a quick summary on some things. When you jump into a passage, it'll at least give you an idea of how to look at it. Is when I look at the books, and we talked about these things before, when Paul writes, and he's writing to believers, he's always writing to believers, and it's always to not only to educate them, but to equip them for God's purpose. And the Corinthians were saved. They were saved. They had a lot of problems, but they were saved, which means that God wanted to use them. God was using those people. And he couldn't do it against their will. That's grace. That's one thing God won't do is use you against your will. And I was listening to something the other day, and it says, show me your purpose, not your gift. You know, a lot of people like to, I got the gift of this, the gift of that. And it says, yes, for what? What is the gift for? Mm-hmm. And the Corinthians, they had all the gifts, didn't they? Mm-hmm. But they didn't know the purpose. They thought it was just a show off. But they didn't realize that it was God that was using them for his purpose. And so when they came together to eat this meal, they come together, they said, this is the Lord's Supper. And it's, when they got together, it was anything but. Mm-hmm. When they came together, one had their basket, one had their drink, one didn't have anything. They didn't sit down and fellowship together. They had a corner over here, corner over there. It was just, what's that?
A mess hall.
It was just like one of the pagan...
haves and the have-not. They're well represented.
That was not a fellowship meal. And it certainly didn't have the Lord's accomplishments in mind.
Right.
So when Paul writes, that's what the first thing he says is verse 18 or 17. He says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's not a body. You're not functioning as a body. Can you imagine that? Picture this. Picture the Lord at the Last Supper. And you had three over here. You had two over here. You had three more over here. And the Lord's sitting there, and they're supposed to be
a body,
right. 12 together. Plus the head, the leader there. Can you picture that? Well, here's the Corinthians, you know, there's a pack over there, a pack here. And they come in, and this is the Lord's Supper. What? Here's the guy, he's over there drunk. But they looked at that as one of their pagan meals. That's what they did. They came together, they got drunk. It was like a party. And Paul says, I can't praise you for that. Then he gives them, in verse 23, he gives them an explanation. Instructions. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Notice the first part, he says, for I have received of the Lord. That's revelation. It wasn't handed down to Paul from any other disciples. So what this is not is something that I would say a continuation of the of what they had back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
It wasn't by tradition.
Now, the reason I say that is because before there's people today who have a problem with, they say, well, the Lord's Supper is the Passover, just updated. But when the Lord took the Passover, well, let me rephrase that. The Lord took the Passover in advance
of his death.
Earlier, I won't say in advance. Before the most of the nation took the Passover, the Lord took it.
Precursor.
What does that mean? I don't know what that
prequel.
Something that
prequel. Oh, beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, let me read. I'm going to write this up there. I'm trying to condense this. I don't want to go too far. But you know that if you know the in Leviticus, you have the feast days, right? Where you have the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Yep. Day of Atonement. All right. All those feast days, you know, it's funny that we mentioned that. He said those are what?
Feast of the Lord.
The Lord's feast. Which means they belong to who? They're the Lord's. He says, these are the feasts I want you to keep. The Jews. Mm-hmm. And every one of these they're the Lord. They mean something to them. So if you look at this, if you know what happened, what has transpired so far, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, right? Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles. Seven feast days. Those are. So all these things, you know, when everybody talk about seven, they say completion. But it's a completion because God gives an oath or a promise where it always ends up with that don't look with the rest for his people. Well, in this case, it was the Jews. So when he, for example, he says, remember the Sabbath day. This is very, very beginning. Remember the Sabbath day and what? He says, for in 6 days, the Lord created the heaven and earth. But on the
seventh day,
he did what? He said, that's why this is holy. So keep this day. Don't forget. All these are, and they're also called Sabbaths. Sevens. And they belong to the Lord. This one's past.
Fulfilled.
Thank you. I like that word. This one's fulfilled, which means once it's fulfilled,
don't go back to the type and the shadow.
You can't go back. Death, burial, resurrection. Here's the cross right here. That's why when the Lord takes the Passover, I said all that to say this. When he goes to the Passover, he knows that I'm what?
Wait a minute. The cross needs to go between Passover and unleavened bread.
What? Oh, that's
Okay.
You were testing us, right?
I'm so used to doing it in the middle of the board, I just put it in the middle of the board. The Lord is He is the Passover. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So even though they came out of Egypt and took the Passover, that was just a type. In Genesis, when he sins, next thing you know, he's got a coat of what?
Skins,
which means there was animal there. I just bet. That blood was shed. And I just bet.
Not just blood?
I just bet.
Oh, you just bet.
I just bet that that animal
was a lamb.
Was a lamb. Okay. Which is a type. Take Abraham when he offered Isaac. It's all types. When they instituted the law and they offered the sacrifices, Hebrews said it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That's why when Jesus shows up, he says, "Behold the what?
Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So when Jesus comes, he knows that's his job. He becomes the Passover, T-H-E, capital T-H-E, which means all the rest of these before, it was just a type. It stood for something else. And when he's on the cross, he becomes the Passover. You notice in 1 Corinthians, Paul said that even Christ, you remember? Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Well, why would he say that if he didn't know what really went on back here? So that's why when he takes the feast, he says, "For a long time I waited to take this with you. Before I suffer." And he sits down and they eat the meal. And when he's done, he takes the bread and breaks it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he says, "But I won't do it again when he dies on the cross." Check. He took care of sin. Death, burial, check. He resurrected, check. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, Spirit comes, check. What's left? Three more left. But you notice even on the day of Pentecost, he says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." What? What does that mean? When it was fully come. When it was fulfilled. That's why there'll never be another Pentecost. You can go to a Pentecostal church, but this ain't happening in the Pentecostal church. You know, they say you need they call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. Well, that was one time deal.
I know that our focus is the Lord's Supper, but with Pentecost, wasn't the Old Testament, because you've got the two sheaf loaves and there is leavened bread, and wasn't there a connection with Pentecost to the rejoining of the northern and southern kingdoms, the northern and southern tribes? So we know that the symbolism was there. But if that was fully come, is that because men out of every tribe were in Jerusalem at that time?
That's right.
Okay.
So it was 12 tribes. So no matter where they were, they all met three times a year for these feasts. They had to keep them.
Okay. But the thing that made it different this time, because they were all coming every time, right? The thing that made it this time because the Holy Spirit came?
The thing that made it different this time because it was what?
Full and filled.
It was fully come.
Fully come.
And fulfilled, right. And what made it fulfilled was because the fulfiller was there. The fulfiller had already checked these off. He says, now, I'm going to go away in John 20. He says, I must go away, but when I go away, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Spirit back. Well, he couldn't have done that any other Pentecost because he wasn't on the scene. Let me rephrase that. He couldn't fulfill any of these days until the man who could fulfill them showed up. So even though Moses instituted the feast days 2,000 years ahead, all they did was they went through the motions. They just went through the rituals until the Lord came who could fulfill the types. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when he comes, he says, now the Lamb is here, and you can stop giving me the substitutes. So when the Pentecost comes, it was just a preparation for the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost couldn't come until the Passover was fulfilled and the day of unleavened bread and the first fruits. Then the day of Pentecost could be fulfilled. Just like now, they try to keep these days, but they can't. They say now that let's get the Jews back over here. Trumpets to gather them back to the, send the Jews back to their land. Help send the, you ever seen the guy on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Donate to the Jews.
Aliyah,
send the Jews.
Help the Jew make Aliyah.
You know what? It won't work because it won't work until the trumpet blower blows the trumpet in Zion. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway.
So they were fire drill.
You could say that. You know what?
But doesn't the order in Scripture say that he has to cleanse the land before he brings Israel back into it?
All that's part of the.
But I mean, isn't there an order? He wouldn't cleanse Israel and bring him into an unclean land, right? Or no?
You know what the day of Pentecost was? When the Spirit comes, that enabled the Lord to institute the new covenant. That takes care of all that stuff that you were talking about right there. You got to qualify. That's why I said you got to qualify the people for the service.
Okay.
So, and before the qualifier, right, is Christ. If he doesn't die, you don't get qualified. Under the Old Testament, it was just performance. You got to have some gas to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit is what they needed. What's that?
High octane.
93, right? So he says, I'm going to take out for them now, I'm going to take out your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways and keep my statutes. And you'll know me from the least to the greatest. And you will ask no man know the Lord. You won't have to ask that. That happened for a minute, but they rejected it. So back here you have, that's why I said it's not the Passover because he fulfilled that. That's why we went through all those things about the eating and drinking, because most people think about the Lord's Supper and they make that connection to the Passover. But they shouldn't. So, back to 23. I don't want to go too far into this. He says, that's what's significant when he says, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. He says, first, let me clear all this up. He says, I'm giving you this by revelation. Paul, your apostle. He says, first, let me tell you, I'm not just trying to keep something going that's from the Old Testament. He says, I got this from the Lord, and he told me to deliver this to you. The same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, Paul's saying, I'm giving you this by revelation. Why would he say that? Why would he say, I'm giving you this by revelation? So they won't think it, number one, now I'm not making this up. Number two, you got Jews there. You know what they're thinking? He says, it's not that. It's not that.
New information from the resurrected Lord.
So here's the, right, and here's the key, is this right here. Because when he died, was he dying? Was, did the Gentiles know that he was dying for them? They had no clue. They weren't even in on the covenants. Ephesians chapter 2, he said, you were strangers from the covenants and the promises and without God in the world. So how could you as a Gentile end up taking the Lord's Supper? How do you get the benefits of his death? That's why Paul says, let me tell you what this, when he took bread. You know what I like? He used a little terms in there. We're not going, like he said, the same night. The same night. Why didn't he just say, then when he took bread, he break it and gave thanks. And so little things like that, you know what? That's what that makes me look. And the first thing I thought of when the Egyptian, when Moses went to deliver the children of Israel, mm-hmm. and he told them, he says, you going to be there for 400 years. Let me see if I can find this.
That's Abraham when he was asleep or in the trance or whatever.
Who did I say?
You said Moses.
Yeah, Abraham. Thank you. Somebody listening.
I think it's around 14.
Exodus. Look at Exodus.
Genesis 15 is where the Lord tells Abram that they'd be afflicted for 400 years.
Yeah, well, we know that. Well, he told them that your children will be strangers in the land, the strange land, and be afflicted for 400 years. And after that, he says, I'm going to deliver them, right? Exodus 12:37. And the children, 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks, and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not carry and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Here's what we want. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed of the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And I'm thinking of it when I'm reading that, I'm thinking, you gotta love that. You know what? They sing that he's an on time God. Yes, he is. You remember that song? That old song? Y'all remember that? Okay. But he said this, the same night when it was supposed to happen, guess what? It happened. For, you know what? If Abraham was counting, if he was alive to count, he could have said, you know what? There it is. Here he comes. And he was the same night. 400. You know what? Tick, 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 boom. Don't you love that? You got to appreciate that. And he said that night they came out 600,000. He said, it's a night to be much observed. He said, this the Lord's night. Didn't he say that? So when Paul said that, he says, I got this from the Lord. He said, the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread. The same night. You know what? The Lord knew. He said, you know what? He says, this is the time. You know what? A lot of times he walked through, and he would say, it's not my hour yet. Mm-hmm. Or they couldn't take him because it was not his hour. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? But when he got to, in one time in John, he says, and the Lord, knowing that his hour was come, he was ready. He said, I'm right on time, Father. And when he's on the cross and they were doing all the things to him, he's like checking them off. Check, check, check. They didn't kill him. They thought they didn't kill him. He gave his life. And when he found it, when he said, and it said, and Jesus, seeing that all things were fulfilled, while he's on the cross, seeing that all things were fulfilled, he said, okay, you can put a plug now. Or he gave up the ghost. No man taketh my life.
Didn't he also refuse the gall until the time, and then after the time he accepted it?
No, he didn't take it at all.
He didn't take it at all?
No, that's... You know what? That's, you know, the Passover, when they told the Passover, when you eat the Passover,
yep,
eat it, he said, eat it bitter.
Yeah, not sodden.
That's right, not sodden. You know what? That's what the Lord said. He wouldn't take the vinegar. He said, "Don't. I don't want. I want the full effect."
Mm-hmm. No shortcuts here.
He says, "I'm going. I'm carrying out to the letter." And when it was done, that's why he can say when it was fulfilled. That's what when it, everything that the Scripture said would happen, he did. So Paul said this. He says, the same night the Lord betrayed, he took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new. The what? Another word for a new testament is what?
Covenant.
New covenant. In my blood. Wait a minute. How did you, now he's saying now, you get what? Even though the covenant wasn't with you, now you're getting the benefits of what? You're getting the benefits of my body and my blood. He said, that's the new covenant. The new covenant is what equips you to be a servant. He said, that was, now you get the benefits. Now, we talk about the, what? The bread and the cup. Back to Corinthians. He said, do this, or this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Huh? 50. Huh?
Victory. That's what you call it.
Yeah. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Where?
The eating and drinking is the participating in.
That's why he said, you do what? You do show his death till he come. How do you show a person's death? By eating bread and drinking the cup.
Because it's finished. He couldn't eat and drink with them because it wasn't finished with them.
And he said, as often as you do it. Right, and that's, you know what, I understand that you have to, you know what, you have to squeeze all this into 20 minutes. So, and that's what I was telling the guys one day, is you can say things, but if you don't have any background, then you kind of just wait out there and it just... Right, you just kind of float out there. You don't know where you are. But so
he has something to build.
Right, you got that. You had to give him some building blocks.
Yeah.
So, like we talk about the Passover, where Paul said our Passover is sacrificed for us. If you're not familiar with the Passover, you have no idea what he's talking about. And then he said, "Well, let us keep the feast." And if you don't know what he, if you're not familiar with that, you have no idea what he's trying to get over. So he lost you right there. But that's okay. You know what? You take these things and let me give you a little example here. Where he said, my body and my blood. He said, I'm giving it for you. Right? His body was broken for us, which means he just died for us. And he shed his blood for us. We know without the shedding of blood, there's what?
No remission
of sins, right? So we know he's got to die to do what? Shed his blood. So we know that he shed his blood for what?
Remission
of our sins. And without him dying, and he can't, there's no testament without the death of the testator. You got a question? Oh. So when he dies, he said that enables him to give us the benefits of what? The new covenant. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter. You okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No, James, he kind of
slumped back in the chair.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5.
1 Corinthians what?
1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 2, Romans 5. I'm going to give you two verses and I'm going to let you tell me what's going on here. chapter, ready? 1 Corinthians 2, verse, you know what? I just gave you the wrong Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Are we there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse
11.
Not that far. Let's go to, let's pick up at verse 2. He says, 3:2. He said, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read. 2 Corinthians 3. He says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Sound like the new covenant for the Jews, don't it? He says, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's the new covenant. Mm-hmm. Is him making you sufficient. And he go, look, semicolon. Further explanation for this, he says, but our sufficiency is of God, semicolon, who also hath made us able ministers of what? Whoa, semicolon. Not of the letter, the old covenant, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Look, without this, no life. He says, now he's made us able ministers of the New Testament. Us. Who's us?
Gentiles.
How? How is he able to do that? By his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, Romans chapter 5. Keep that in mind. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 or 9. 8. 8. Romans 5, 8. 6. That's it. 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, that ought to make you think about something. In due time,
right on time,
Christ died for what?
The ungodly.
See, what the Jews didn't know is when he's fulfilling their time schedule, he says, I'm really doing it for everybody. But you won't know that until
later.
Till later. Cause I'm gonna tell a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell your guy to tell you. You know who your guy is?
Paul.
He says, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is what we want here. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
In there, I don't see any works that we have to do. It's like Christ is doing everything, or has done.
Has done everything. That's right. You know what? He reconciled you. And then he says, now, he says, this is 2 Corinthians, he said, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And he says, if he did that when you were an enemy, if he loved you that much to reconcile, to make you savable when you were an enemy, how much more is he going to love you when you're reconciled?
Mm-hmm. So Christ is the end of the law of works, maybe?
That's what he said.
So grace is upon us.
That's it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all them that believe.
So simply believe. Even though our confession should line up with our vocation. But
exactly.
It has nothing to do with whether we're saved or
not. Nope. Nothing. You know what? You live right because you want to. That's, you know what? Paul said this. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. You know why? You know why you don't live right?
Selfish.
You're selfish. You right. You haven't realized that I really don't have a life.
Okay.
The life that he purchased was mine.
Okay.
That's what Paul said. We thus conclude. If one died for all, then all were dead. And the lies, hold your hand there, because you're going, I want you to read it. You're going to say I said that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth. What does henceforth mean? Henceforth, they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which what?
Died
for them and rose again. 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That's Jesus Christ, not you didn't know sin. You know it. He says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
So our faith in Christ works, meaning that there is no past or present sin in him.
Sure. Well, the sin that he took on was ours.
Past and present.
That's right.
Because we're in him.
Past and present and future.
And future.
You know what's hard for people to grasp is this, is your sin is not an issue. After you're saved, it's definitely not an issue. But you know what keeps a man from being saved now? He looks at himself. He says, well, when I quit doing this, then I'm going to come to the Lord.
I'm not clean enough yet.
Well, when I quit drinking, I'm going to come to the Lord. When I quit my girlfriend, I'm going to come to the Lord.
They don't want to give up.
Because you know what? He's thinking, I got to do this to be worthy.
He's thinking he's got to, that's his part in his salvation.
Exactly.
And he didn't realize, he said, that's what I'm here for. Because I know you can't quit it.
Taking care of it.
He had made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin, that we might be made
right.
If you had to be, you know what, to be made something means what?
Transformation.
If you had to be made that, if you had to be,
you weren't it to begin with.
And you can't make yourself You know what? That's called
imputation.
He makes you righteous. He makes you righteous. What do you bring? Nothing. Like a shot, like an injection of righteousness. You come in there and you believe, I believe. You know what? Scripture said, Romans 4 says, Abraham believed God and the Lord counted it unto him. Look at Romans chapter 4.
And that's before the cross.
Mm-hmm. That's before the cross. Romans chapter 4. We've same book.
Because he still had to die.
Die, right. Because he knew, you know what? He says, he go to check. He said, if you righteous, and what? Hold that thought. Yeah, hold that thought. Romans chapter 4. For what saith the scripture? 4:3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not. But to him that worketh not, believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith. His faith is what? Counted for righteousness.
So it's not believing plus our works to help God.
His faith. If he would have said faith and works is counted for righteousness, he would have said that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He said his what? His faith is counted for righteousness. 20. We know the story about Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. God promised him a son. He says, and 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see this progression? Watch this progression. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Let me ask you something. Well, let me keep reading this. And therefore, why is it therefore? Because he wasn't weak in faith. Because he staggered not at the promise. Because he was strong in faith. Because he was fully persuaded. Therefore, his belief was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now he said, he gave you that story about Abraham. And he says, was that just written for Abraham? He said, no. You know, when we were in Corinthians, he said, does God care for oxen? Remember, we were going to that verse and he said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. He said, is God so concerned about the oxen, or does he say it for our sakes? And he said, no doubt for our sakes. But he's giving that. He said, look what happened to Abraham. He said, you can get it. You can get it. You can get righteousness imputed to you. Is that not the righteousness of God? When I say, how right is God? How you think of God? You think of any?
That much.
How right is Christ?
100%.
He said, 100%. He said, you know what? You can get that tonight. You know what you're doing? You know what you're doing right now? Even you. You know what you're doing right now? Me? Because you're thinking about what you do. What you're going to do. Am I right? Right now you're thinking that. No, I know you're thinking that.
Now that you said it.
Because I'm thinking that.
You
know who you are. The first thing you do is default to your behavior.
And you forgot who Christ was.
And you forgot. That's why he's... Don't do that.
So his righteousness don't fall away even though we do.
Exactly. That's why it's imputed to you. He said, don't do that. Don't look at you. He said, it's not about you. He said, that's why you look. He says, this is a gift. You think Abraham, why do you think he tried to help God out?
Thought God needed some help.
He's, man, my time's running out.
He was looking at
Sarah, you know what? He was looking at.
We do that too.
Yeah.
So that's, you know what? That's why. Why do you think he waited until Abraham got 99.
So we know it's a miracle.
You know what? He said this. He considered not his own body now dead. He said, my works, I'm done. Yeah. He said, I'm done. Sarah, baby, I got nothing. I got nothing.
It's coming out of her.
And then it's a kind of a picture, because out of death comes life.
You know what? This is the thing. He says, I want you dead.
Yeah.
I don't want you trying to do anything, Abraham. He said, I'm waiting for you. You know what?
To get out of the picture.
To be useless.
run out of gas. And then you know what? If Abraham, he says, yeah.
Is that why he created me last?
Your hand is not in it. That's why he said, okay, Abraham, and he gives where he was, and Sarah. So they would know that the only way we got this was by his grace. So if you know you, I don't know you. But you know you. She knows you, but you know you. If you know you, you know that you bring nothing to the table for righteousness. Oh, you might be a nice guy. You know what? I never drink. I never smoke. But I had my conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh and of the mind. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and was a child of wrath, even as others. Didn't you have your conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Your lifestyle? He said, when you come as a sinner, you come as a sinner. He says, and he said, I'll impute it to you. I'll impute that righteousness to you. I'll give you a righteous standing in God's sight. Now I can look at you and say, not him. But if you trust him, he said, if you believe.
So
if you believe.
Faith. Like even like before any laws, it was just.
Right. They only did what God required. Today he doesn't require you to do anything but believe.
Mm-hmm. And yet that's the hardest thing.
It's the hardest thing. Because you,
they'd rather have work,
and you can't do enough. It's, you know, in Ephesians he said we've been made acceptable. If you have to be made acceptable and made righteous, guess what? You're not. I embrace that. I do. So that's what, we know what? And we get it because of this. Oh, we get it because of the new covenant. That's why he told them, he says, well, when you come, I got this by revelation, that the same night he was betrayed, he took bread, he took the cup. The cup was a symbol of his blood. The bread was a symbol of his body. And he knew when he's going to the cross that he was ready, not for death, but, like Karen said, for what? For victory. He knew that. That's what we just read Romans. He says, he said, now we have received the atonement. He said, we received the atonement. You know what the Jews waiting for?
Messiah.
Huh?
They're still waiting for their Messiah.
Well, there were those.
Oh,
no,
you're talking about the yeah, okay.
Those days, they got three more left.
Mm-hmm.
Trumpets.
Tabernacle.
They're still waiting. They were still waiting for the gathering, the sins taken away, and the kingdom. They're still waiting for that.
Didn't the Lord say in the Old Testament that these would be everlasting feasts or something?
Not,
I mean, obviously, once they're fulfilled in Christ, that isn't everlasting, but does he use that terminology?
That's for us, isn't he? He says something like that. I'll have to look that up, though. But you got it. We're one in Christ. You can't get any gathered, more gathered than that. One in Christ, your sins are gone. Way gone. From the east to the west, they're gone. And that's why he said, as far as the kingdom, in Ephesians, he said this, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And in chapter 2, he said, he has raised us up and made us sit together what? In Christ. You already there. What they're waiting for,
we got.
You already have. That's why he says as often that I'm victorious already for the body. He says, so as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you showing it till I come. I'm coming back for you, but as often as you eat the bread, drink the cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. That he is not dead, but he's a what? He's a victor. And I'm part of it. It's a victory feast. You know what? Well, in Detroit, we take the Lord's Supper and everybody's so solemn and like, I'm thinking, you're missing the point of this. It's
a celebration.
You know, because of the following verses.
Right.
Right. Which we have to do that next time. But everybody's all, you know, and some people, I'm sure they're thinking like, I can't take the Lord's Supper.
Strike me.
I can't take it today.
No. At my old church, they say, hey, you know, examine yourself.
Mm-hmm. Bring your hearts out.
Yeah.
And I always thought it meant,
if you're not right, then don't take it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I thought being right meant being saved, not that you're all messed up. You know.
Yeah. You know what? And we'll have to talk about that, because when you look at it and you get the context of it, and then you try to carry the stuff over today. If this was happening today, none of us would be around to take the Lord's Supper. No church would be taking the Lord's Supper. If we should be glad that he's not holding us to a worthy standard with the way they think.
Right.
that you got to be worthy to take it. Nobody's worthy to take it if you're basing it on your behavior. The thing is, as he's telling them, they were taking it in an unworthy manner, not even realizing what should be done. What when they come, what are you thinking about when you? Mm-hmm. It's not this. It's none of this. You're not thinking of this. So, you know what? That's where the Lord had to shake him up a little bit. Aren't you glad he's not shaking us up today?
Yes.
No. People think he is, but he's not. So, you know what? We didn't cover what I wanted to, but we'll try to get some of those questions answered next week. And there was a few more things to bring out, but we'll have to wait till next week. Say it again.